I do not think.
So what are you getting at?
I'm live.
Do you even listen to yourself when you talk?
Hey, we're live! Woohoo! Turn off your radio before it's too late! Hated it.
I told you this was a bad idea.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
3:03 here in the afternoon. Felger and Mass in our Town Fair Tire Studios, joined by Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal, covering the Patriots down at camp every day so far. So we're doing a couple hours of football here to lead off today's show. We'll get to the Dustin Pedroia news and Red Sox stuff later on in the show. We'll do 10 questions coming up in about 10 minutes as well. 10, 15 minutes, we'll do our first official 10 questions segment around the league.
Looking forward to it.
With Greg Bedard. But
let's see if Bedard's ready.
We're continuing with the phone calls here. Mike in Boston, what do you got for us?
I just wanted to make a point that when Brady and Belichick are in the tape room, like deep in Gillette at night and no one's around, there's no way that they haven't talked about when Brady's leaving. So they both know, and I think that seeing what happened with Garoppolo kind of gives an indication of what they might have talked about. But really the point is they know, and we just have to speculate. So but there's no way they haven't talked about it.
It's really a great point, Mike. Because I feel like publicly, they're sort of, both of them are sort of staking their ground. Where, again, in this Bill's comment goes back 4 years, where he's when he drafted Garoppolo, he said, we all know Tom's age and contract situation. It's better to be early at that position than late. And Brady has countered by saying, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm playing till I'm 45, maybe 50. And this is Brady's sort of way of leveraging the Patriots. Like, I don't know what you're going to do with that kid, but I ain't going anywhere. In fact, I'm going to play another 5 years, maybe 10. Which is just complete garbage, but it's just his sort of way to leverage him. So I feel like they haven't had that conversation, or they don't, or if Brady tells the team the same thing and Bill says, well, it's great that you feel that way, but 40's 40. So even though they've had the conversation and Brady may have said it, does Bill totally believe it?
I don't think they've had the conversation.
Why?
I think that it's, well, first of all, I think that both of these guys, Brady and Belichick, view their relationship in a certain way. I mean, it's very much coach and player. And Bill's going to do what's in the best interest of the team. Tom is afraid that Bill's going to supplant him at some point and choose when he... I mean, what did his father say? His father said a few years ago about, like, you know, the end is going to come for him in New England at some point, you know. And for me, looking at the dynamics... The way it would work and way it has worked recently is Kraft talks to Brady. Like a few years ago when Kraft and Brady shared an airplane ride from or to California, and Kraft told Brady, you know, the way the salary cap is going, this is around the time of the lockout or whatever, we are not going to have a quarterback that's going to take up 20% of our cap. So you have to choose. Do you want the money? Or do you want to stay here and take a little bit less and we can build around you? And Tom said, coming back and said, I'm going to take less. That was Kraft who did that. It was not Belichick. So I think it's the same sort of thing. I think that either Robert and or Jonathan act as the buffer between Tom and Bill in this regard.
Why do Tom and Bill need a buffer? Describe the relationship as you know it.
I just think it's like any other player-coach relationship. I mean, you saw that. The Belichick documentary, when they're talking about, you know, Ed Reed or whatever, did that strike you as extra chummy or anything other than just I'm talking over me and the quarterback are meeting about strategy about this game?
You think it's professional?
Yeah. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but that's my read on it.
I almost think that even if they've had some conversation, and I don't know that they've had the one where Belichick sits him down and says, Tom, what are you thinking? Long term, how long do you want to play? Like, I don't know if they were totally honest with each other when they did. And then beyond that, don't you think it all changed when he drafted Garoppolo?
Yeah, where Brady looked and said, oh, this guy's trying to get rid of me already.
Yes, of course. Like, once that happens to me, again, you sort of, what happens when you walk out of the room after you have a conversation with someone? Well, that's what he says. Let's see what he does. Okay, like, fine. I mean, anybody with half a brain does that. Brady's 40 now. He's not 25. He's got some experience. I would hope that he looks at the whole thing and says, I've seen enough here. I've seen Mankins. I've seen Seymour. I've seen them all. And I know that eventually my number's going to get called no matter what he tells me when we're sitting there watching film together. So I think the day, did he clear with Brady that he was drafting Garoppolo?
Hmm. So when I said it's their relationship is professional, what I'm strictly professional. I mean, obviously It's professional. Like, I mean, duh. But there's no,
Yeah, they're no, but they're not buddy buddy.
I mean, and you think that Bill's lack of emotion when it comes to his job extends to Tom Brady?
I do. I mean, I might be completely wrong, but that's my read on it.
Here's Anthony in Medford on the third quarterback. Yes, Anthony.
Hey, what's up, Mike? I got a few questions for Greg, but that, if you don't mind.
Go.
Greg, if you played football, it's really hard to change a quarterback's motion if he's been throwing the same way since, you know, Pop Warner or something. That's why I think, did you ever see them have a quarterback change his motion before?
Well, no, but I could tell you one that I have covered where it was a huge change, and that's Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers was completely high carriage. McCarthy turned him into the athletic quarterback that you've seen today.
Yeah. Greg, another question. That lineman from Florida State that came the fourth round with Mason, did he regress Jackson? Did he regress so much, or was it injuries? Why did they let up on him so much, give up the pitch on him so early?
I think it was both. I think it was injuries, and he just never panned out, and they had better options.
Do me a favor. Explain to me what high carriage means, because that sounds sort of snappy. If I could if I could work that into my commentary, it'd sound like I know what I'm talking about.
High carriage means just holding the ball high. You know, like...
Well, were you supposed to, a quarterback, aren't you just throw right behind the ear? Like, isn't that the whole idea?
Yeah, but no, you've seen those Cal, Jeff Tedford quarterbacks where they go back from center and they're holding it like this.
Uh-huh.
It's very regimented. They're very robotic.
I get it.
Watch the film of Rodgers coming out, and that's the way he went back from center. Now watch him. He's Mr. Athlete. He can hold the ball wherever he wants to. It's a much more athletic, and that was all Mike McCarthy. He changed all that.
High carriage, Maz.
High carriage.
Log that.
I get no shot of a high carriage. Oh, yeah.
Julio in Concord, or Julio. I'm sorry, Julio. Go ahead.
No problem. Yeah, so listen, I think one of the things that's really frustrating for the fans about this whole discussion is that how it's one or the other. It's the future is either Brady or Garoppolo. But one of the things that the coach has always shown us is that things come out of left field, and you never really know, a Brandon Cook situation or whatever. So, and maybe that's going to happen with the quarterback. I'd love to hear you guys speculate on, for example, could we have Aaron Rodgers at some point in the future? And I know, don't cut me up.
No. You don't mean the next Aaron Rodgers. You mean like Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers. I mean Andrew Luck. And I know it's rare in the NFL for guys like that to leave their club. But like, why?
Well, hey, look, I would have traded Brady for Luck a couple years ago. Maybe that deal's still on the table. I don't think those are realistic because franchise quarterbacks don't move anywhere close to their prime. It's just exceedingly rare. So that's why I call. I mean, you're right. You know, surprises happen, and every once in a while something happens that's just out of the norm. But that, you know, I think Jim Irsay's stupid. I don't think he's that stupid. And Green Bay's not going to get rid of Aaron Rodgers. But the thing about they're just sort of waiting for it to shake out is entirely possible. Like, you know, you always say in baseball, you have six starters. Like, what are we going to do with six starters? Don't worry. It'll take care of itself. It always does. And so maybe that's just Bill's thing here. This will take care of itself. The answer will show itself. It's just a risk. If it doesn't, you've just turned down the 12th pick in the draft.
Yeah, see, I still think that he looks at it and says that he's got something up his sleeve here, whatever it is. And it might be as simple as franchising Garoppolo. And again, as unlikely as that seems, Belichick to me is almost always about leverage and power. And so he will use it if he has it. Look what he, you know, again.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look at what he just did with, like, Malcolm Edelman's
Butler.
Contract and Butler. I mean, you know, Edelman could have gone the way of Wes Welker and wanted his money and whatnot. But, you know, no. Bill goes and trades for Brandon Cooks. He's got Amendola, takes another pay cut. And all of a sudden it's like, well, Julian, do you want your money or do you want to stay here and be Jules in New England with Tom?
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Radio.com. Radio.com. No one says it like they do.
So my question to the people of Boston is, what are you, nuts?
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, very exciting, Mass. The return of 10 Questions with Greg Bedard.
Indeed. Yeah, we'll see if Greg's ready.
This started, we'll just give you a quick background because it is the first of the season. This started as 10 questions with Wiggy. Jermaine Wiggins, former Patriots tight end. Sort of a character. And is sort of all over the place. So he would come in here for two-hour sessions, but because he was so all over the place, we had to try and focus him a little bit. So he said, why don't we just ask him specific questions, and he had an opinion on everything.
Right? So get any 7-year-old, give him a bow and arrow, train 8 hours, 10 hours a day. After 6, 7, 8 years, kid's going to be good.
Okay, he's just all over the map. So we tried to rein him in, get him on the rails a little bit. So we did 10 questions with Wiggy every single Tuesday, and then we lost Jermaine to a hip-hop station.
Yes.
So he's gone, so we continued it with Greg Bedard. This is probably year 5 or 6 of 10 questions.
I've played with Peyton Manning before, and he throws wobbly balls, okay? And I've caught some of his wobbly balls, and they shake like that.
Okay, don't talk over Wiggy. Sorry.
Oh. Well, A, I want some of those questions like that. What would you rather fight, one huge duck or...
No. Would you rather fight...
Yes. Yeah, a horse-sized duck or 100 duck-sized horses.
Right. He would have 20 minutes for you on that.
I was just wondering about that question. It looks like, or that picture. It looks like I'm having like
I'll
a
movement.
I'll tell you what, Bedard,
you and a big duck, that's a good visual. Right?
Okay, so anyway.
Yeah, we taped their walkthrough.
Anyway, so that's the Love Boat captain from Pearl Jam.
Show me some evidence. Where's the evidence of actual, where is it?
Okay, so that was in honor of Jermaine Wiggins, who if you want to look up Love Boat scandal with the Minnesota Vikings, there's the connection. Okay, yes, just I feel like I should explain that a little bit.
Yes, he might want to also Google okra patch.
Yeah, so skipping through the okra patch, Jermaine Wiggins.
Or you can elect to kick a 50-yard field goal for 4 points.
I love that. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, so 10 questions. 10 questions, 10 minutes. We got to stay on time. We have buzzer options to keep us on time. Jimmy, go.
Zach Sinise.
Huh?
But yeah, why'd I miss that?
He was trying to say Zach Sinise.
Zach Sinise.
Like very, the toothpaste.
Very good. Next.
Xavier Bogaerts.
Okay, yeah, we have a hard time with names on this show.
Addison, certainly that closer B.
What?
Yeah, closer B, yeah.
Addison, certainly that closer B.
Oh, God. Dave Dombrowski yesterday.
Couple of deep breaths, a couple of spits, and we'll have our answer.
Dennis Eckersley doing David Price.
Mike, they don't have a dominating personality.
Not the issue.
It's part of it.
Not the issue.
It's part of it.
Nope.
It's part of it.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I vote for Eck. You want to sprinkle them around?
Yeah, mix them all up.
All right, man.
Couple of deep breaths, a couple of spits, and we'll have our answer.
Okay, we've killed 2 minutes already. Got to be quick. Number 10. There's been a general sense, Greg, that the quality of play across the NFL has declined the last couple of years. Do you expect that to change at all this year?
I do not. Not with 6 new coaches that are going to get their butts whooped by Bill Belichick and other experienced coaches in the league. I mean, they just keep trying the new thing. That is not the way to get good coaching into this league. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse.
And you think the coaching is the reason?
Yes.
How about the practices and the way they're able to hit and not hit? Like
it's not helping. Changing. I mean, all that stuff. I mean, I just don't think the teams are prepared. I mean, the first 4 or 5 games of the season are just a crap show. I mean, it's extended training camp in preseason. It's bad, and it doesn't get much better as the season goes along.
Zach Sinise.
Okay, number 9, or Zach Sinise. Or Sinise. It's one of those. It's not what he said. What new NFL coach along those lines has the greatest chance for success this year?
For this season, Anthony Lynn in San Diego. Well, Los Angeles Chargers now. I just think I've heard good things about him, and he has the most ready team that can, they punch a few buttons here and there, and I think they have a chance to be competitive in that division.
Maz, do you have a thought on this?
Yeah, I'm going Kyle Shanahan. I think over the long term, he's the only one that I look at, and I say I think he has a clue. The other ones I have no idea about.
Xavier Bogaerts.
Okay, number 8, what new NFL coach has the least chance for success? Who's going to fall on his face?
Sean McVay with the Rams. I mean, look, I think McVay's very bright. He deserves to be a head coach at some point in time. He's been a coordinator for like 2 years. He has no idea. He doesn't know what he doesn't know yet. And that's going to be a big problem for a team that doesn't have a quarterback, that doesn't have much. Aaron Donald's already holding out. Like, it's not good.
Doug Marrone. First of all, he's Doug Marrone. Secondly, it's Jacksonville. Recipe for failure.
Addison, certainly that closer B.
Okay, number 7, we've talked a ton about the David Price-Dennis Eckersley incident. I ask you, Greg, it's a longtime reporter, and Maz, what's the worst example of getting reamed out by an athlete or coach in your career?
I have three examples. Nick Saban. Well, you choose which one you want. Nick Saban, Jason Taylor, or Jack McKeon.
Who's Jack? The old
manager of the Marlins manager? When I used to do some baseball.
Oh, I got to go Jason Taylor. I want to hear that story.
Okay. Well, it's a long story, but long story short is that Jason Taylor, I was doing a story on Zach Thomas, who was, Jason Taylor was married to Zach Thomas's sister. I wanted to talk to Katina. She called. I did an interview. I didn't get permission from Jason to talk to her. Harvey Green, the Dolphins PR guy, calls screaming at me. So Jason, then there's a game on like Saturday. Jason wants to see you in the locker room after the game. I go down there. I wait. I'm on deadline. I can't wait anymore. The reporters come back up. They're like, you're lucky you weren't there, because Jason Taylor came out of the locker room or the bathroom and says, where's that punk-ass Bedard? Fast forward to the locker room on Monday. He walks by me. I said, can we talk about it? And he's like, he starts screaming at me. No, we can't. Like, you did me dirty and all this stuff. And so, long story short, he goes to the Jets AFC Championship game. I go up. I said, I'm glad to see you going to the AFC Championship game. Long time coming. And he apologized for the whole thing.
Aww.
That he was in the wrong.
All right.
But it was a lot of screaming in front of a lot of people.
I mean, I'll make this quick. You've heard this story before. Jose Offerman wanted to beat me over the head with a baseball bat is pretty much what it comes down to. And then, you know, I still think to this day he got me mixed up with Shaughnessy, but that's another story for another day. I don't know how anybody could possibly mix up me and Shaughnessy. We have totally different hair, we're totally different heights, and we have totally different skin. But in any case, Offerman wanted to beat the crap out of me. Tommy Harper stepped in. That was the end of that.
Okay. As you might imagine, I've got a million of them because they all hated me. Pat Burns chased me into the locker room once and yelled at me in front of the players. Richard Seymour unfolded himself from a chair. When I asked him, is there a problem? He unfolded himself from the chair and looked down on me and said, do you want there to be? Which I said, no. Again, William McGinnis questioned my sexuality in front of the world and right before the Super Bowl. But the best one was Corey Dillon and Kevin Falk did a double team on me. It was really Corey Dillon. Keep writing what you want, right move. Just keep writing. I'm going to kill you. Keep writing. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to keep writing. He's pacing back and forth in front of his locker. In the locker room, I said, Corey, what did I do? I started playing dumb. And Kevin Falk was like his second. Like, I call him Little Penny in this little scenario. Because he's like, you know what you wrote. You know what you wrote. I'm going to kill you, man. I'm going to kill you. You keep writing what you wrote. I'm like, Corey, you know what you wrote. And it was like 5 minutes of that. So I got a lot of those if you want them. Next.
A couple of deep breaths, a couple of spits, and we'll have our answer.
Number six, should Colin Kaepernick have a job right now?
Yes. He's much better than some of these guys that are signed around the league. And
why doesn't he?
They're afraid of the PR, which is just ridiculous because these teams employ wife beaters and other things without a second. I mean, look at Tyreek Hill. You know, his pre-draft thing, all of a sudden he's a postseason star. Everyone's celebrating him. Colin Kaepernick kneels, and now he can't get a job. I mean, look, you can think what you want of it. The guy should be employed.
Should he have a job? Yes, absolutely, but I understand why he doesn't.
Yeah, see, I don't think he should. These are private businesses who can hire based on their own preferences and the image they want to convey. And that's when you act like an a-hole. Are you surprised that teams don't want to hire you because you're an a-hole? So it doesn't surprise me. And, you're not – an NFL job is not something that's your right. Like, that's not an entitlement. You have to fit the criteria to have these people want to hire you.
Okay, but define should. Is he better than some
yes.
of the...
Yes. Oh, talent-wise, he should.
And okay, I agree with your premise. But, however, you know, these NFL teams, like, cowering to, like, public sentiment. All right, say the Ravens. You know, they're, like, polling their fans. Name one Ravens fan that's not going to watch the games on Sunday if they sign Colin Kaepernick as a backup. It's ridiculous. No one's going anywhere. Stop being wimps and just sign the guy.
Okay, but talent-wise, he obviously deserves to be in the league. I think we all agree on that. Next. In Dombrowski yesterday, fill in the blank. Blank will be the biggest failure in the NFL this year.
I'm teetering between the Cowboys and the Broncos, but I'm going to say the Broncos. Because just the new coach, new scheme on defense,
and let me just say,
stuff.
It's going to be a team or a player.
Right.
Because my answer is a player. But okay. You say Denver Broncos. Yeah.
Dallas. Dallas is what I put in. Absolutely. Jason Garrett's going to get fired this year.
Okay. I say Jared Goff. And just because, what was he, the first or second pick? That
first.
You know, okay,
first.
They trade up all that to get to number one to get this guy. He couldn't play last year. I mean, could not play. And if he can't play again, it's not just, it's the magnitude of the failure, of failing of not being able to play out of the number one spot in the draft. Like, that just feels like a huge fail coming for LA.
Mike, they don't have a dominating personality.
Not the issue.
It's part of it.
Not the issue.
It's part of it.
Nope.
It's part of it.
Number four. First in our season-long series. I'm looking forward to this one. The tool bag series. Who was the biggest tool bag of the offseason?
Dan Snyder. Fires Scott McLuhan. I mean, there was that whole thing at the combine where he's not there, whatever. Then he uses draft board and do the draft, and then they hired Doug Williams, and now the Kirk Cousins contract. Like, it's just, it's a joke.
Good one. That's a good one. Ezekiel Elliott was my pick. Ezekiel Elliott. The Cowboys are, this guy feels like a time bomb. This thing's out of control. Like, to me, Dallas is coming apart.
Addison, certainly that closer B.
Okay, number three, what former Patriot? Does not have to be a recently released Patriot, but what former Patriot will have the best season with another team this year?
Martellus Bennett.
Oh, good one.
I hope you're right. I don't have high hopes.
Oh, good one.
I mean, he could fall on his face this year, but they've been, since Finley got hurt, he would be the perfect. If the Packers fans were excited about Jared Cook last year.
No, look.
Wait till they see Martellus Bennett.
From a talent standpoint, he should be perfect.
Yes.
I just think Green Bay doesn't have the institutional controls that they have here.
With that. They love those goofy guys.
But I think they let them do whatever they want, and it doesn't pan out. I think the only place Martellus had a chance to really succeed was here because of the structure. They don't have that in Green Bay. I don't like Martellus Bennett's chances next year.
I went boring. I'm going to keep Tlaib. I just think Tlaib is dynamite. He's one of the top five corners in the league. But I can tell you who I think is going to be the worst.
Who?
Blunt. LeGarrette Blunt.
He's going to another Pennsylvania team. So is he coming back at the end of the season again?
Excellent point.
He's going to suck.
I have Chandler Jones as the best, by the way. Yeah, are you laughing at me, Dombrowski? Number two, what rookie quarterback has the best chance across the league this year?
Deshaun Watson by default. Have you looked at the list of quarterbacks?
Yes. So I was going to say. Ugh. So none of these guys are close.
I hope not. I want Glennon to start in Chicago because I think he's good. But I think Deshaun Watson is the only guy who has a chance. Kaiser, maybe.
In Cleveland.
I considered him.
Is Watson going to start?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think Savage is going to start. And we'll see. I think it's sort of a situation like with Hoyer last year. So we'll see what happens. But I think Watson will get a chance at some point.
I also had Watson.
Okay, last one.
Xavier Bogart.
Okay, or Xander. Predict the first Patriots loss this season.
I wanted to go with the Texans game, but okay, Tampa game.
So let me say, these are non-binding. As you feel right now, as it stands right now, and you have the right to retract this, and it's not going to be held against you by me. But I'm sure, you know, you'll get Patriots.
Oh, yeah.
How do you like, you had a ball.
They didn't lose that game.
But no, just as it stands right now, give me what you think could be an early season loss.
I thought about the Texans game at home, but I ultimately went with the Tampa Bay on the road Thursday night, short week, older quarterback, that sort of thing. We'll see. Funky things happen in that stadium. It's a weird place.
Tough
man.
Little turn. They're home against Carolina that Sunday, then on the road at Tampa.
Physical game against Carolina.
So yep. That's it's a good one. It's a good little spot.
You said the first loss this season.
First loss.
This season?
Yes.
Come on, you homer.
October 2019. Ain't happening. Sorry, Murray. Put that in your pipe
Please.
And smoke it. Smoke it with all your other funny stuff over there. 29, they're going unbeaten. 19-0, I'm in.
All right, I keep saying New Orleans week two is trickier than people give it credit for. It's a good team in the dome, on the road, early season. In the past, the Pats have taken some time to get going or time for their defense to get going, so maybe that's a tough spot. Right now, I'm thinking New Orleans week two, but we have the right to change our minds
no
on that.
No shot. I'm telling you, they're going unbeaten.
Felger and Maz. Radio.com. This is Felger.
The man is beholden to no one.
And Mass.
I don't really know what to expect.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, talking football with Bedard to open up the show. A couple more chances to get on board. Here's one, 617-779-0985. Ernie and Revere, go ahead. What do you got on the Pats?
Well, last Sunday, not this Sunday, we can go Sunday, I got to watch the Super Bowl again. And I'm going to tell you something. Shaq Mason almost got Brady killed. That guy who played in front of him should have been the MVP. He had like four sacks. He was awful. He can't pass block. He's a good run blocker, but he can't pass block. Brady is not going to make it to 41 if they don't get another guard or get him better with pass blocking because he is awful.
Good job, Ernie. Great call. I get angry at the guard play in July. I love it. Oh, it's great. Great Felger and Maz caller right there. You're not going to hear any. You won't hear that anywhere else in the country. Someone getting angry over their guard play on August 1.
After rewatching the Super Bowl that they came back
that
and
they won for
down
the fifth time. I love it. Mwah, if you're in front of me, I'd kiss you on the mouth. Is he right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a football guy saying that,
that's
too.
That's great. That's just great. No, but we've said this before. It feels like Belichick has scouted his team off the Super Bowl as if they lost. Right? I mean, he clearly agrees with me on LeGarrette Blount. Crapola, okay? Because they brought in three new running backs and let this guy go. So, LeGarrette Blount, did he feel that they weren't fast or athletic enough or that they couldn't stretch the field enough? Brandon Cooks. Oh, you know, was Atlanta just squatting on the Patriots for three quarters in that game? The guard play, Shaq Mason. Was he the one that, no, didn't Dwight Freeney kill really Nate Soldermore in that game?
Yes.
Well, yeah, think it was both. But who's the defensive tackle for the Falcons? Again, Garrett?
Yeah, Grady Jarrett.
Jarrett, right. Yes. Oh, that's right.
He
had a Coney Ealy game. He had 3 sacks.
Oh, my God. He was a monster.
That's right.
He was a monster in that game. Totally. Like, you know, so, and he was lined up on Mason most of the night? Bedard?
Yeah.
So the offensive line in general, like, we always talk about the offensive line every year because it always seems to be, pretty good but not great. Is there any issue with the offensive line this year?
No, actually, I think it's a position of strength now. I mean, you know, a lot of those guys, you know, they're young, they're a year better. I mean, I think there's some, not battles, but I think they're very consistent. I mean, I think Solder is very good. Tooney's better this year. Andrews and Karras, I think, are competing for center, and Karras gives them a little bit more size and strength at center if they want to go that route. Mason is better, still inconsistent. I mean, this is still a kid who didn't do much pass blocking in college and is still going to take him some time. Cannon's been excellent so far in camp, and now they're looking at – today they switched – Cam Fleming was playing left tackle, backup left tackle, and Waddle was on the right side. Today they flipped them because I think they want to get it – Fleming has not been great so far.
Shocker. I want no part of Cam Fleming on Brady's left side.
But the problem, the thing
you
is...
You hate Cam Fleming, too. You do.
Well, it's not my fault. Yeah, he's not...
I don't mean as a guy. No, I mean, you don't like him as a player.
You made a face as soon as you said the name.
Yeah.
Well, what's your issue?
Everyone knows my issue. I just don't think he's a very good football player.
No one knows your issue.
You know, but he's an awesome guy. He hasn't been good. He hasn't been good at all since he's been here. And I don't know why I think they gave him like a 2-year contract extension.
I mean, we would do three up and three down last year. The Patriots would win 43-7, and you would pick two plays that Cam Fleming screwed up.
Well, it wasn't my fault.
He would play three down.
He would play like four plays a game
and screw two
as,
of them up.
As the third tackle or a tight end, and he would whiff on two of the three plays.
And he would make your three downs just for four plays.
For the percentage. But the thing is they drafted Tony Garcia. They drafted two tackles, Garcia and McDermott. So far, Garcia is the left tackle. Garcia's left. McDermott's right. They both look pretty good so far. But Garcia's very thin. Looks like he needs a redshirt year.
I've had enough offensive line talk. Except to say that you think this could be Solder's last year, right?
I think so. I think because he's coming into his contract year. He's the type of guy, given his situation with his son and things like that, he would probably want to remain here, close to the hospitals. Let's play ball. There's no contract. They draft two tackles this year, and he's also the type of player, being a biology graduate from Colorado with a high GPA, he would be the type of guy who would read those CTE reports and retire early.
Okay, folks, you can talk football with us all day long. We'll be here till 6. 617-779-0985. However, you will only have 10 more minutes with Bedard. So if you are among those who think that Bedard's the only one in here who knows what he's talking about, then you better get in now to talk to Greg before he takes his ample behind and leaves right after these words.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Radio.com. Radio.com. This is Felger and Mass.
I'm a hypocrite.
Wow.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Walk into a morning press conference and see a long snapper from your first championship team. What's your reaction?
Always under the gun, huh? LP.
I would imagine it's probably nice for you just to see see that through the years, and now 18, to have a player from year one come back, that the connections are still real.
Yeah, absolutely. So now we're done with the hard-hitting questions.
So that was today. Lonnie Paxton, former long snapper, was down there. That's what that little grab-ass session was, which obviously Bill was not all that into.
So now we're done with the hard-hitting questions.
Yes, that's... I love all the laughter. You're funny, Bill. But anyway, I did want to play this cut because in that, as a follow-up or in that little exchange, he was asked something about where we are now versus 2000 when Bill did first get here. And, you know, Lonnie was Lonnie here in 2000 or was 01 his first year? Either way, it was in that transition. And so here was Bill's answer. Here's that exchange.
A long time has passed since then, but just how different maybe does it feel now with the team that you built and the program that you built and the consistency that you guys have had? I mean, can you just speak to some of the differences between then and now just in terms of the things that you're trying to organize and get set?
First of all, the biggest difference was in 2000, a quarter of the team couldn't pass the conditioning run. So that wasn't a very good start. We don't really deal with that now. I haven't dealt with that in a while. I don't think there was a lot of commitment with that group. We obviously made a lot of changes from 2000 to 2001. You know, a lot of the guys that we stuck with from that team became pillars of the program, of the organization in later years, but it was a pretty slow start. I mean, it wasn't a very good football team on a lot of levels. So we've moved past that, hopefully.
So when he says that, that's a rip job. It's 17 years later, so it's like, you know, statute of limitations. So I guess Bill can actually tell you what he feels. But what a rip job on Pete Carroll. Doesn't that just
go back to
Pete Carroll?
No, that's totally on who it's on. It's on Pete Carroll. It's exactly what he did. It's as if to say, don't blame me. Like, you know, what I inherited was a bunch of dogs. I mean, isn't that how you take that?
Yes, and it's just like, wow, Bill. I mean,
let it go.
Yeah,
isn't that hard? A quarter of the team couldn't pass the run. Not a lot of commitment from that group. Not a good football team on a lot of levels. You know, they're a bunch of dogs.
Big time.
They're a bunch of dogs. And he was right in some cases. You know, the Terry Glenn, Ben Coates, Bruce Armstrong. Like, there was a sort of hold over there. And so some of those guys had some really good years. I'm not saying they were bad football players, but there was a big culture problem when Bill first got
here. No, they weren't playing to their potential, though. Look, and he even made the comment there about, you know, some of the guys that we kept ended up becoming pillars of the team. Willie McGinnis, right? Like, you know, stuff like that. Like, you know, it was his way of saying the leadership was bad. They weren't properly coached. Because usually when he starts going off on his teams or in a bad performance, doesn't he almost always say, you know, we got to coach it better?
Right.
He didn't do that this time.
I just thought that just stood out to me. It's like 17 years later, he's still ripping the team that he inherited, which is, you know, coaching 101, right? It's like, well, you should have seen what it was when I got here. You know, we had to change this, we had to change that. It's just sort of a way to excuse what would be a slow start for you or whatever. But you would think after 5 Super Bowls and 7 appearances and establishing himself as one of the great coaches of all time that he would have let that go. Nope. He turned right around, but I just can't. You know, when he said that and I was hearing, I just bit Pete Carroll ringing in my ears.
Oh, it's a total rip job on Carroll. And I happen to believe, look, I mean, you know, I never saw Lombardi. I think Belichick is the best coach ever.
Okay.
I do.
Real quick, few more calls here for Bedard before he goes. Aaron in Gloucester, go.
Hey, guys, I think this Brady Garoppolo situation is setting up perfectly for Belichick to end up trading Brady after next season, especially if Kirk Cousins doesn't go to the 49ers. What better quarterback to stir up season ticket holders and get excitement in the Bay Area than Tom the GOAT Brady, the Bay Area golden boy?
Okay. I mean, I think from a pure business football perspective, that might make the most sense. But there's just a million other factors that, you know, ownership, who wants to be the one to trade Tom Brady? There's only one person with enough balls and who doesn't care to do it. There's only one. That's Belichick.
Of course, yeah.
Kraft, if left to his own devices, would never do it.
See, I still wonder how all that's going to go if and when we ever get there. Like, because is Tom Brady going to accept Bill Belichick trading him somewhere? Tom Brady, is he going to go play for some, you know, crap bag outfit somewhere, even if it is San Francisco?
He said he wants to keep playing. I mean, that's what he said. The bottom line is that he wants to play.
I mean,
do you think he'd be afraid to go to a certain team if it wasn't very good?
Yes. Yeah, not afraid. I think, like,
reluctant.
I don't think it's a fear thing.
Maybe,
I don't.
It all depends on the dynamic, because I went through it with Favre, and you bet your rear end that Favre wanted to go somewhere.
Oh, he wanted to get to Minnesota
and beat the crap out of. Maybe Brady wants to go to Buffalo or the Jets.
Was Favre a free agent?
No, he was traded to the Jets.
He was traded to the Jets, played his year out, and then he retired again, and unretired, and the Jets cut him, and he became a free agent so he could sign with the Vikings. It was a whole big drama.
Yeah, so again, like, I can see him a free agency, absolutely. Well, I could see that happening.
I have one other scenario. Say Brady sees the writing on the wall here that they want to go to Garoppolo. He doesn't want to go. What if he says, I will play for $3 million a year, and let me compete for my job, which at one point Favre also said, let me come in and compete with Rodgers. And the Packers were like, no chance. It's not going to go. No.
Because I think Bill, while Bill is good at blocking out distractions and all of that,
right,
I think he's conscious of the fact that it's not best for his foot. Boy, what a circus.
Closed
that
training
would be.
Camp.
That would be a circus.
Oh, no. Well, you got to cut the cord and move on.
Thank you.
Yeah, you got
to
cut.
That would be pretty unfair to Garoppolo, don't you think?
A little.
Oh, no. So I just wonder about, if... You know what, again, maybe there's an agreement there. We'll trade you someplace. You'll have a say in the process. Like, we're not as interested in what we're getting back as we normally would be. We want to do right by you. And to me, that's what they should do if it gets to that.
But in the meantime, Garoppolo's off to a poor start, which is interesting. Billy in Lakeville, go.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, you remember when Bledsoe, he was playing like crap and everything else. He got hurt. And, he was one of Kraft's best buddies. And guess what? He was out the door. And Brady's going to be out the door, too, because there's a reason why. There's a business to run here. I want to watch the Patriots win. I don't want to see kiss ass Brady. Oh, I love Brady. Brady's gone. He's gone next year. All the fans are going to say bye, 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 bye. There's no way he's going to stay around. There's not enough money there to support both of them anyway. And why can't we accept the point that Brady's going to leave? I mean, these Patriots fans got to accept it that he's gone. Why can't we accept it? We got to accept it one day. Bobby Orr's gone. Larry Bird. Larry Bird's gone. I watched Larry Bird's gone. I cried. What are you going to do? I can't replace him. So what's going on with the best other player? And guess what? Today in practice, he's goofing. He's throwing the ball. He's having fun. He ain't worrying about his job because he knows Tom's gone. He's got the next job. Do you agree?
Okay. I think I think Maz agrees with everything that you said for the most part.
I don't imagine why Garoppolo would be here if Belichick didn't deem him to be the successor. Why else would he be here? And the idea that, they want a good backup quarterback, in every other year they didn't? And the other thing is Brady plays 16 every year anyway, and I'm not, obviously you got to prepare for the unpredictable. But you could have traded Garoppolo and got out and signed a half-decent backup quarterback if that's what you wanted.
Right.
To me it's not about the backup quarterback. It's about the future. I think Belichick believes that Garoppolo is the successor. How he makes the switch is gray to all of us.
Okay, quickly, Bedard, before you go, how's it going at Boston Sports Journal?
It's going great. I mean, people have been subscribing like crazy, more than I thought.
What
are
you got
really
right
getting
now?
Our vision.
What are you up to?
I think we just passed.
You're like 2,500.
2,500 we just passed in like 9 days, and it's been way more than I thought. And so it's been great. People are seeing our vision, all that stuff they're liking once they get in there. And if people haven't seen, yes, the paywall's up, but you could see everything. You see the front page. You can see all the articles. You just can't read them. But there is a free section on there. If you go underneath the banner, it says Best of BSJ Free Preview. Our best stuff from the opening week is there. So you can get a sense of who we are and what we're doing and how we're trying to cover things.
Okay, let me just say one thing I said to you off the air. I'll give you a little plug here. What I like best about it, and when you said it 3 weeks ago when you announced the site, I didn't get it because I don't get the internet. I just. But you said it'll be something along the lines of a cleaner experience. Like, what does that mean? A cleaner experience. Click, read the story. No, because you're subscription-based and not advertising-based. You're not selling a lot of advertising, and you're not selling out to the advertisers. So the result is, when I click on there to read a story, There's not a video playing somewhere. There's not a pop-up ad. There's not, I'm not reading the thing, and all of a sudden I hear sound from somewhere. I'm like, what the, who's got the TV on? And then it's my computer. Like, how do I turn this damn thing off? And then I'm reading the story and the screen moves because there's some sort of pop-up ad at the beginning or the end of the story that moves my screen. Like, they're like, what the hell did that just do? And I can't figure out how to block anything. You know me. I'm just like, I'm at the whims of all these things that take a crap on my computer. So I'm frustrated reading other websites. When I read your website, it's just a picture and the story. And there's no other videos, drop-ins, pop-ups, pop-downs, sound. Nothing moves around. It's just, it's clean. And now I get what you mean when you say that. And it really, I want the people, if that matters to you, then that's another reason to go to the site. Okay,
so that just, that.
I mean, you know what I mean, Maz? I had no idea what he meant when he said that.
Oh, yeah. No. The one that drives me bananas the most is the Herald. When the ad pops up and start, you try to scroll down and it won't let you.
So there's several websites that I'm not going to mention by name that are impossible to read because there are videos and things and clunkiness everywhere. And it's a, you don't
Why
have
aren't you going to mention by name?
I just don't want to. But at Greg's site, we don't have that. At Greg's site. So Boston Sports Journal, it's a good take. Subscribe. All right? So that's what I'm telling you out there. Greg, any parting words for us?
Nope. I'm excited for more practice. And the app is coming tomorrow.
So be
on the look for that.
And is it going to be the same?
More cleaner experience.
Another clean experience,
yes,
on the app? Okay.
Yes.
You have to download it for me, though, because I don't download
okay, yeah,
it on my phone.
Tony will hook you up.
Okay, we have no commercials here, just an update, and we come back, get into the Red Sox, we can clean up your Patriots calls, whatever you want, right after this. Again, no spots here.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.